I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
I'm sorry, I'm watching this Knicks game right now. It's a tie game with 53 seconds left. And if the Knicks win, they get the number 2 seed. And you know both the Knicks and the Bucks were trying to tank their ass today because they are terrified of playing the Miami Heat or 76ers in the first round. Vucevic for 3, Brick City. Jalen Brunson with the ball gets stripped by Caruso. Back to Vucevic. Let's see what we got here. I'll turn the volume up for y'all. Timeout. Timeout for the Bulls. They are tie game with the ball. 29 seconds left to go in the game. But anyways, another season. Same team, same results thus far for your Miami Heat. As so it is said, so it is done. The Miami Heat are a play-in team. They finished the season 46 and 36. Finally get that illustrious 10 games over 500. And they actually end up winning 2 more games than last season. But last season, they were technically the 7th seed. Now they're the 8th seed. But at this point, it really doesn't matter to me because the Heat have been pretty bad at home all year. And I'll just be honest with you. I don't think they're going to win that first play-in game, which means that things are going to get scary because then the Heat will have to play the winners of the Atlanta Hawks versus Chicago Bulls. And then obviously that person will be the 8th seed. But I'm jumping a little bit ahead of myself here. So essentially, you guys know there was a bunch at stake today for the Miami Heat. They could have finished anywhere from 5 to 8. And the only thing that went their way is the Heat won. They either needed Milwaukee to win, or they needed Indiana to lose, or they needed Philly to lose. And all the games were blowouts today. So it was an action-packed Sunday in which you had a ton that could happen, even with the Western Conference later today. I mean, there has never been a last day of NBA regular season history where this many teams were not locked into a spot. I think you only had like 3 teams that were locked into a spot, the Celtics and then the Mavericks and Clippers over in the Western Conference. So action-packed Sunday, although the 1 o'clock games were primarily blowouts except for this Knicks-Bulls game, which is coming back from the timeout here. But essentially, what you got for the Miami Heat is they are the 8th seed and they are locked to play the 76ers in the first round of the play-in tournament. With regards to the Heat game today, same as the last game versus the Raptors, they led start to finish. No one really cares as DeRozan almost bricks a 3. Rebound DiVincenzo, 20 seconds on the clock. I'll put the volume up for y'all. Because this could be a potential first round matchup for the Miami Heat. So as I was saying, the Miami Heat are locked into the 8th seed. They will play the 76ers at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, I believe. The only reason the game is not Tuesday is because there's a conflict with like the Philadelphia Flyers playing. So the playing game is on Wednesday, which is good because I think it gives the Heat a little bit more time to get healthy. You hope that Duncan Robinson and Terry Rozier can play. Duncan was questionable for today's game, which is positive because you heard he was a little bit further back than Terry. And you heard Terry was doing better, right? So I do have some optimism that both those guys can play going into the playing game. Now, Kevin Love, that scared me. Kind of the one thing you wanted to see today from Miami was to go out without any injuries. That did not happen. He left 3 minutes into the game with like an upper arm contusion. Now, in my experience, a contusion just means like a little bit of a bruise. A bruise in your arm don't sound like the biggest deal. Obviously, it's hard to shoot with that, but in a few days, you would think that could be okay. I just don't like that the Miami Heat ruled him out so early after it happened, but it remains to be seen if Kevin Love can play. But one thing I think we can agree on is if the Heat don't have all of Terry Rozier, Duncan Robinson, and Kevin Love, it will be a very difficult game versus the 76ers, and especially going into that first round, whoever they may play. So as things stand right now, if the Miami Heat do beat the 76ers, they obviously play the 2 seed. That's going to be the Knicks or the Bucks. That's why the last 13 seconds of this Knicks game could be important to the Heat. And unfortunately, if the Heat do lose to the 76ers, which I think they will, I'm just going to be honest with you. I will say Joel Embiid did miss today's game because he banged up his knee a little bit last game. But he even did return after banging up his knee. Let's see what's going to happen in this Knicks game. Brunson with the ball. 8 seconds to go. Brunson midi for the win. We're going to overtime. So, man, that means I got to keep this video going for another 10 minutes here so we can find a result of this. It's all good, Heat Nation. We got a lot to talk about. So if the Heat do lose that playing game versus 76ers, then that means that they go to the winner, like I said, of the Hawks versus Bulls. That terrifies me because both those teams on any given night could go off and then you miss the playoffs entirely. That is a nightmare scenario. But even if you were to win that game, you got another nightmare scenario, which is facing the Boston Celtics in the first round. Now, I know there has been some Heat fans that are not against that scenario because they say, hey, if you're going to make the NBA Finals, you're going to have to go through Boston at one point or another. It's better to get it out the way early. To a certain extent, I agree with that. We know the Heat tend to be their healthiest, you know, early on in the playoffs before guys start to get banged up because they're an older team, right? But I don't want to play Boston just because I don't know if I like Miami's chances, and I would like this playoff run to last as long as possible. And on top of that, on the opposite side, the Celtics got guys too like Porzingis that can't necessarily stay healthy, and the longer that team plays, the more likely they are to get banged up. And I personally would want to avoid the Boston Celtics, although beating their ass in the first round, that is what dreams are made of, and that would be just the most exciting thing. We could talk about this game versus the Raptors a little bit. We'll go through some of these stats here. So you had Jimmy Butler, 15 points today, 6-9 shooting for him. Didn't need nothing else. One of the easiest prop bets of the day on the anonymous player prop betting app that does not sponsor me, so I will not say their name, was Jimmy Butler under 20 points. We knew that wasn't going to happen because, one, we knew he wasn't going to shoot enough, and two, we knew he wasn't going to play enough. Only 24 minutes for him today. Now, the thing that did annoy me is Nikola Jovic, 15 minutes today, 3 points, 1-4 shooter for him. I smashed his over because, one, I figured it was a blowout. He's going to get a ton of PT in the fourth quarter. Didn't get any minutes in the second quarter. And Nikola Jovic was just your leading scorer last game versus the Raptors. So why the hell he got 15 minutes today, Spo? Why? I don't know. Very frustrating. Bam Adebayo had a very solid night today for him as well. He's very efficient. 8-10 shooting, just like he was in the last game, actually. And then you got Caleb Martin, 5-12 shooting for him, 12 points overall. People have really soured on Caleb Martin. I know a lot of people are annoyed because they were willing to pay him, and now they're not willing to pay him, which means that you should have traded him at the deadline because now you're not going to lose him for nothing. I get that, but I do think his playoff experience will be invaluable coming into this postseason, because one of the things that cannot be understated is battle-tested role players going into a series. And when you have these guys that have been there before, have had the ups and downs, there's just a sense of trust that comes with that going into the postseason. And there's always the chance that Caleb Martin can go off in a playoff series or in a game and win you a game or two. And sometimes that is the difference between advancing to the next round and not. So I still like Caleb Martin. Plus, I think his point of attack perimeter defense is more invaluable now, that especially since you lost Gabe Vincent. I know you did add DeLon Wright, you know, a couple months ago that kind of offset that, but I still think Caleb Martin provides a skill set that you need on this team. What else do we got here? We got Tyler Hero, another very solid night for him. 17 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, stuffed the stat sheet once again. And then Jaime Jaquez Jr. was your leading scorer off the bench with 18, 6-12 for him. And not to mention Thomas Bryant, 18 points and 10 rebounds for him himself. So yeah, nice to see that Thomas Bryant, after not getting any runs since Kevin Love returned, can come off the bench and give you a night like tonight. It's nice to know that you do have an emergency backup big that can get you some run if you're in a bind and not be completely terrible. But on top of that, like I was saying, Jaime Jaquez, it was also nice to see him get his rhythm back over these last couple games after really struggling of late. And then also on the bench, you got Highsmith, 5 points. DeLon Wright played sensational today in his minutes. He was 11 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals. He is a guy that if you do not have Terry Rozier and Duncan Robinson going into the postseason, it's nice to have DeLon Wright. He is a guy that I trust because you're always going to get the defensive side of the ball from him. And if he keeps the offensive efficiency that we've seen over the last couple of weeks, and again, it's not a large sample size, but if he keeps it up, he's a guy that I can trust again if you need him for a game or two. If Duncan Robinson or Terry Rozier needs to miss just a little bit more time. Long term, I don't know if I trust DeLon Wright, but again, you have guys on this Heat team that if you need some run, you can trust them for a few minutes here or there, or a game if some guy gets banged up. What else we got here? Let's talk a little bit about the Heat's playoff rotation, right? Because that's something that's a little more interesting now that we get later in the season here. Typically, and I don't think this is just a Spo thing, typically teams like to go 8 deep in the playoffs. And if you're the Miami Heat, that means that you have, let's go with the starting, let's say the same starting lineup that we saw if everyone was healthy. So we'll go Terry Rozier, we'll go Duncan Robinson, we'll go Jimmy Butler, Nikola Jokic, Bam Adebayo. That's 5 right there. You know that Tyler Hero is going to play. I would say Kevin Love is going to play. He's really been your backup center all year. So that's 7 right there. And then you got 1 spot remaining. I would say Caleb Martin is a lock. I would also say Jaime Jaquez is a lock. And then I would also say Haywood Highsmith is a lock. But you can't have 10 locks. So that is going to become a very, very interesting discussion. Because with that last spot, does Spo go to Caleb because of the experience? Does he go with Jaime Jaquez because maybe he's a little bit of a better offensive threat at this point? Does he go with Haywood Highsmith because he might be the best defender out of the bunch and has been shooting insanely efficient over the last month? It's a tough call. Now, I do think at least early on in the playoffs, we might see Spo go 9 to 10 deep, but the 9th and 10th guys I'm talking maybe get 5 to 10 minutes a night, just to give your stars a little extra rest on the bench, because that can go a big way too. If you're going late in the fourth quarter and you're playing the Boston Celtics and Tatum has played 40 minutes and Jimmy Butler's played 33, I think that can make a big difference when it just goes to giving, you know, the little bit extra of a rest there. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting discussion to see what the Heat's playoff rotation is going to be. Elsewhere around the NBA, while we wait for this Knicks game to end here, there's 2 minutes and 13 seconds left, and the Knicks are up by 3 with Kobe White at the line. I want to talk about, as a Heat fan, who would you have preferred? Obviously, by the time this video comes out, we know that they'll be in the play-in at the very least, which means they could either play the first or second seed. But as a Heat fan, who would you want to play in the postseason? I gotta be honest. I've heard a lot of people say a lot of different things, and my mind changes on a daily basis on this. It really does. But I think out of all the realistic teams, I think I'd rather play the Milwaukee Bucks. I really, really do, for a couple reasons. One, we've seen the Miami Heat on multiple occasions have playoff success versus the Bucks. The only time they have not is in that 2021 season, which I'm calling a fluke because the Heat had the shortest offseason in NBA history. And you could tell they ran out of gas by the time the postseason came. But in 2020 and last season, we saw the Heat make light work of the Bucks, 5 games in both of those series. And you could say, yeah, the Bucks are a better roster. They got Damian Lillard, but the Heat won in 5 last year. Is Damian Lillard enough to get the Bucks an extra 3 games? I don't think so. We saw what Jimmy Butler did to Drew Holiday. Imagine what the hell he's going to do to Damian Lillard. And on top of that, the Bucks are pretty banged up right now. We don't even know if Giannis will be ready by the start of the playoffs. He's got a calf strain. They say that's more of a see how it feels type of thing. There's no way to get really like an exact timetable for his return. Chris Middleton hasn't really stayed healthy consistently for like a year or two now. Now, he is notoriously a heat killer. I do understand that, but the team is banged up. And on top of that, even if Giannis does play, the Heat are consistently the team that is the best at limiting Giannis. And that's because they have the personnel to build that wall, force him into doing what the Heat want him to do, and they take advantage of his weaknesses better than any other team. And the Miami Heat have a Bam Adebayo. That's really what it comes down to. He guards Giannis better than anyone that I have ever seen. And on top of that, all of that, the Bucks have Doc Rivers, who's one of the worst coaches in the entire NBA, as Alex Caruso misses a go-ahead three. Knicks by two with the ball. So all of that being said, I think the Miami Heat would have the best chance of beating the Milwaukee Bucks. A lot of people would say, oh, give me the New York Knicks. They're banged up as well, obviously missing Julius Randle for the rest of the season. Now, Julius Randle statistically is one of the worst playoff performers of all time. Seriously, that's a true thing. If you relate his regular season numbers to his postseason numbers, he has some of the worst efficiency ever. So I would argue the Knicks are actually better in the postseason without Julius Randle. But they don't have as much star power as the Milwaukee Bucks. Obviously, they got Jalen Brunson. That guy is an absolute superstar. Make no two words about it. But he's not Giannis Antetokounmpo. I was going to say he's not Damian Lillard, but at this point, I don't know. Dame shot like 2 of 14 today. He did not do the Heat any favors because obviously the Heat needed the Magic to lose. So maybe Brunson is better than Dame, but he's no Giannis. And on top of that, though, the Knicks also have OG Anunoby, who notoriously limits Jimmy, one of the best guys at guarding Jimmy Butler. And the Knicks are big, man. Whether it's Hartenstein, Mitchell Robinson, Precious Achiuwa, they got bigs up there that do scare me. And I do think they provide the toughest matchup for the Miami Heat. Obviously, the Heat could still play the Boston Celtics. And say what you want about what I said earlier about maybe getting rid of them early. But that team is literally one of the best teams of all time. If you look at everything from net rating to roster construction to point differential to everything. I do not want to play that team. I think I'm going to go ahead and wrap the video up here. I know I've just been kind of rambling for a while, but there's a lot to talk about. And because the Knicks are up 4 with 48 seconds left and the ball, so they're very likely going to win, which means that Miami better beat Philly on Wednesday because I don't want to play Boston. And I'll take a first-round matchup versus the Knicks. That could be pretty fun. Like the video, y'all. I might have another video sometime soon previewing the Philly game or all the other stuff going on, the fallout from the rest of the NBA today. But we'll see what happens. Make sure to subscribe. I'll see y'all next time. Peace out.
Look, pull up in the city trying to get that dead fish. Do it on my own, I don't need no dead weight. Had to kill him off, yeah, I need a head space. You know this homegrown bitch don't offend me.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.